What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm not there yet. I'm going to need everybody in the room's help on this one.
Oh, great.
Is there a way, jalapeno, scarpino, there's got to be something there, right?
How do we get that? The Scarpino Grigio.
How about this? The Scarpino Popper.
Scarpino Popper is real good. I do like that one a lot.
I don't understand why are we in need of something new? What's happening?
No. It's just I how often do I ever sit there and go Pino the way I just did? And then it made me think about your word, your last name.
Your wiener.
Pino Weeno.
I was part of what I thought might be some, you know, little bigotry the other day when I was walking along, right?
What? Yeah, wait, you were, no, let her finish. Let her finish. I wanted to know how Greg encountered said bigotry.
I was walking along, Jen and I think we were in the park or whatever, and another conversation was coming at us and passing us, and one of the guys was like, well, that's how you know they're Italian. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, I was like, I was ready. I'm like, wait, Nick's Italian. I'll fight for Nick. And he's like, if their name ends in an I-O or an O, and they're probably Italian. And I was like, Scarpino, I guess that kind of checks out. I don't know. And I got to think about it. I was like,
I'm so happy that went that way. Cause like, yeah. I could have, you know, opened a newspaper as I often do on the mornings and just seen man beats other man in Golden Gate Park for no reason, but it was a large man. There was a wiener dog involved.
Is anyone concerned about Greg's violent tendencies, like, just bubbling up? Because I feel like he's moments away from defending Nick's Italian honor on the street. Is not a good place to be.
I'm letting you know, all right?
My friend is Italian.
We've already said in 2020 we're not letting this shit fly anymore, all right? If I have to call it out on my walks with Porty and Jen, I will.
You may have been a part of some bigotry just reminds me so much of Arrested Development's I may have committed light treason.
That voice, of course, is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe-trotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez, eating a salad. Yeah, no, I know you're tapping your microphone on purpose this time. There's a lot going on in your room today where it's, yeah, you're eating the salad and like the ranch is pouring out of your mouth. But on top of that,
a little bit.
When did you add the shotgun seat to your bedroom? When did you decide you needed a second chair to be on camera?
Is that from the studio?
Here?
That white one?
It's always been here.
No, impossible. Yeah. Impossible.
I bought this chair at Home Depot when I first moved to San Francisco because I didn't have a chair.
Okay.
This is streaming.
So then you got the nice cyberpunk chair that you did not pull any favors to get anybody else one, which is
no.
Weird.
We got the respawn chair first, okay. And then this isn't even a chair. This is basically just a somewhere to store stuff.
What's on it right now? What are you storing on it right now?
Look a little bit like you're driving solo, but you're about to pick someone up.
That came from underneath it. From underneath it. That wasn't.
That's showing all of your financial information.
Nah, it looks like it came from Kevin, so it's probably Kevin's financial.
Yeah, this is the camera box from Kevin.
That does check out. That does check out.
Yeah, that is my address on the side of the box there.
Things
underneath the chair, not in the chair. Like if you went like this, you wouldn't be getting snackums out of the seat of the chair. Because it
is
looks
the
like
the chair
you're...
flipped. Maybe the chair's flipped.
What it looks like right now is that you're at a high school JV basketball game, and you're the lead announcer. You're the lead announcer, and someone's gonna come in here and sit down next to you. Maybe the timekeeper, the guy who runs the scoreboard. You know, that's what it looks like right here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen all those clips of Chris Collinsworth on Monday Night Football where he slides into the shot?
Andy, we can hear the mouth, the food in your mouth, and it's making me uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, chat.
I like it. I like to imagine I'm if I close my eyes, I'm right next to Andy right now, and he's playing Warzone, and I'm winning by proxy.
That's the Nick chair.
Can that be the Nick chair? That is my chair. That's where I sit.
Nick's
normally
sitting there with the disconnected controller, thinking he's doing stuff in the game while Andy plays.
He's like, good job, buddy. Good job.
You did it, Slugger.
Andy,
good job.
I kill real good.
And of course, rounding out the quartet, he is Forbes 30 under 30 winner, the second best baby blues in San Francisco, the engaged one, and the man in the Tom Nook cosplay at Tim Getty's.
That's me, dude. I'm feeling fucking festive today.
Island time, you know what I mean?
I asked you right before the show, like, what do we have planned? Like, do we have something good? And your answer got me pretty excited about this show.
Yeah.
Got me real excited.
Tim.
Yeah.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. Your mic is pretty boomy.
Yeah,
and exactly. I think, and I blame, because I saw on Rochelle's Instagram stories that she was there.
No, he destroyed his own mic.
What does she do? Why is she there?
I gotta assume she was screwing with settings and stuff.
Did she lift different her mic?
Different mic.
I broke my mic with her.
Oh, what?
So now I'm using Joey's mic. Yeah, it's a really sad thing because mine was
ready. Well, you know, so it's a new mic. It's a new mic. Is your gain all super high in your PC settings now?
No,
because that happens.
Oh shit!
You pop in a new mic.
Tell me where to go.
Open up control panel.
Okay.
Open up that control panel. Go to sound. This is good podcast content right here.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't know how to do this. Dude. This is helpful. You're helping now.
And then go to hardware and sound. And then click on change or manage audio devices.
Okay.
And then go to recording tab up top. Right click.
Okay, I'm there. I'm there. Configure.
Oh.
Do I need to go into configure?
Yeah, go to levels.
What the fuck is this podcast?
This ain't good, guys. I'm not.
Right now, troubleshooting.
Okay, I'm there. I'm there.
You're there.
Yes. It is currently at 69.
Oh, yeah. Lower that bad boy down to like 50, maybe.
Okay.
You're just really punchy. It sounds like you're just right here.
It does sound like that. I mean, he's also really close to it, right?
That sounds more normal. Yeah, that sounds like him.
Like 8 inches.
Well, no,
away.
You just moved back, right?
Yeah, he just moved back, Kevin. I noticed that too.
Right.
I think we have it on camera.
Yeah, we do. We do. Move back. I can confirm that. Okay. You give me a minute. I can probably rewind.
Okay.
I guarantee.
Nick, here's my question for you.
You guarantee right? I can't do that, Tim?
What I want to know is the question I think a lot of people have lived with for a long time, but they don't have an answer to, and I want them to know they're not alone. Nick, how much did it / does it annoy you that the 1989 bat symbol on the costume was different than the one on the box, the one on the bat signal and all that jazz?
It's a little weird because you're talking about the fact that it's first off on the box, it was like an orangish color. And then of course,
I'm talking about the peak, the middle peak,
but the middle peak had the little double on
on the costume. It had the feats.
Yeah,
it did like a Triforce thing at the end.
It didn't annoy me. I just liked that it was elaborate. Recently though, I did go back and watch The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen this movie?
Yes, I've seen it once or twice.
The Dark Knight. And I just I like last week I think I watched 89 Batman, and this week I watched Dark Knight, and it got me so riled up to just defend the 89 when we go into it. And it's not there's not a lot of ammunition I have for it, Greg, because The Dark Knight is such an achievement and such an amazing movie, and like has unbelievable character development and a lot of like deep themes to do with. Whereas the 89 Batman is really just you're just reading a comic book, and they're like, look how cool the costume looks. But man, it's so fucking dope, and he's so dope as Batman. That's great. That looks great right there. Sorry, Tim. Just for audio listeners, Tim dropped a bobblehead.
I have no chat. Idea, but it's terrifying.
Looks like a little collectible of some
he
sort.
He just had the best mouth/chin. Like it's no one beat him. This is my biggest problem with any of the Batman right now. Is that Affleck too big of a chin? Too much chin. We got the butt that too much. Wow. Might as well throw in John Travolta's fucking butt chin on top of his head, so it's just all chin. It's all.
I didn't know you were so vehemently against chins.
He's not.
It's Andy. Not that I'm against chins. It's that my only problem with Christian Bale as Batman is that he's got such a soft chin. It's just not even there. If you blink, Greg, you can't. Where'd the chin go? It's gone. It just sped
if you
by.
Close your eyes. You can't see it.
Can't see it. Right.
I haven't had a chin in like 10 years.
Keaton's chin it's so expressive and so perfect for the costume. I just think the Batman, the 89 cowl is just perfect. That costume's perfect, in my opinion.
Can't turn his head though.
It's a strong.
Neither could Ben Affleck or the original Bale costume, or Val Kilmer. So he's in good company there. Looking at it, Greg, more often than not, Batman can't turn his head. So that is the norm. That is the default state of Batman.
Kevin Conroy could turn his head any way he wanted, though.
Kevin Conroy is, you don't know because you can't see him because he's in a VO booth and probably, I imagine, some Dockers in like a nice button up shirt.
I don't know. He's dressed up for this VO game.
Wearing a shirt from Kohl's.
He's just hanging out. Like, oh, man, well, how much fun do you think he has? Because he's been that voice for like two
Kevin Conroy? Days.
Yeah. Oh, he must have a blast when he goes in to do Batman.
Totally. Get to live it, man. Get to go on the CW show, be Bruce Wayne. Yeah, what do you got for me, Andy?
I just want to see Chris O'Donnell come back in some sort of way. No, you know, I thought he was so cool. Like, there was nothing cooler to me as a young child than the idea of Robin, of Chris O'Donnell, this sort of rebellious rookie. Like,
Greg, calm down. Calm down.
I was just so obsessed with the idea of being the rookie. You know, there was so many video games you played where you were the rookie and you were this young kid. What's up? What's up, Greg? Or Tim?
Batgirl was there too. And then you get like, I'm with you, Andy.
Alicia Silverstone. Yeah. And he was looking good. He had cool hair. I just thought Chris O'Donnell was like, I want to be hot like Chris O'Donnell. You know,
the problem was, of course, Chris O'Donnell was like 23 when he was orphaned and moved into Bruce Wayne's fucking mansion. Like, you're a goddamn adult.
But when we were like 8, a 23-year-old looked like he could be whatever.
He was like 15. He was like my older brother. Yeah. And he looked damn good in that costume. That costume was cool as hell.
Like when he, like, Greg, I know exactly what you're talking about, right? Because he gets on the motorcycle and you look at him and you're like, you've been riding motorcycles for 15 years. You are an adult human male who does not in any way, shape, or form. I don't even know that it's necessarily legal at this point for Bruce Wayne to adopt you as his ward. I think at this point, you're just a dude that hangs around and eats his food.
And that's the thing, like, it's not even really an adoption as much as like, hey, just come crash at my house.
Yeah.
Which is, I gotta be out. Like, you know what I mean? I've been where you are. Come here, old child, and live with me.
Wait, I'm pretty sure if you just Google to be clear, Mal Kilmer versus Chris O'Donnell, they're probably only like 10 years apart in age.
In that movie, he doesn't adopt him, and it is more of a situation of like, oh, hey, they killed my family, and like, I saw you there.
You want revenge.
Yeah. But he doesn't. It's
so everything you're saying is invalid and not accurate.
No.
He is still played up.
No, it is still played up that he is like a young whatever kid. Like, you know what I mean? Not like kid, like Robin, a teenager kid. But he still acts like an aloof moron.
I mean, yeah, but like, how many 20-year-olds do you know right now that are aloof morons? Let
this moron into my house. He's swinging around the chandelier being a moron.
Does he swing around the chandelier?
Yeah, he does. That's how he gets down to the Batcave.
To be fair, Bruce Wayne is a complete moron in this whole movie as well. Because isn't this the one where he just let everyone just randomly walks into Wayne Manor and beats the shit out of everyone, and then they just kidnap Nicole Kidman's character?
I don't know if that
character
makes him a moron, the fact that there was an attack on his house, but yeah.
He's fucking Batman. You don't have Alfred. I would have Alfred out there with a sniper rifle when no one can see him.
And it was Halloween, if you remember. Well,
didn't they have a super old Alfred in this one?
Alfred.
This one was Michael Goh. Yeah, it was the same Alfred all the way through until Nolan took over.
Same from what?
From 89.
Really?
He's like, he's the him and Gordon, right? Him and Gordon
were the two mainstays.
Never noticed that.
Gordon was always disappointing to me. Not that the actor didn't play it right, but I always thought Gordon was really understated in those first five movies. I was like, Gordon, they're not even trying to make Gordon a cool character. Whereas Billy Dee would have been fucking awesome as Two-Face if they could have done that. It didn't even occur to me until five years ago that he was playing Harvey Dent. I was like, oh my god, they were setting up Billy Dee to be Two-Face.
Billy Dee Williams, man, he's Harvey Dent in the first Batman. I can't wait to watch that.
That's gonna be awesome.
I've never watched those in movie.
Are you serious? I'll be so fascinated to see what you guys think of the 89.
They're movies that were on when I was a kid that I was just too young, you know.
It's because you guys grew up during like a better time, man. You guys grew up right, like your earliest memories were like X-Men, and those were actually fairly okay movies. Whereas my earliest memories was when Canon Films made the Captain America movie. Greg, do you remember this?
Okay. Yeah,
and
okay,
it was so fucking atrocious because it was made on like $500,000 or some obnoxious thing. I actually just watched the documentary again last night for Canon Films, and how they randomly happened to have the rights to Spider-Man and Captain America, and they had to like make Fantastic they had to make movies. I think it might have been Fantastic Four. Yeah, I think a Punisher as well.
I remember
because like Dolph Lundgren did a Punisher movie, and it was just abysmal.
I remember that Captain America movie because I remember as a kid, I think it's a movie my brother was watching that I was just kind of really young and around.
Yeah.
And I think that movie,
I think it was Canada.
I'm pretty sure I watched it during the summer because I remember I had a Frisbee and I pretended it was a Captain America shield.
Nice.
Yeah. And little did I know that how awful that movie was because I don't remember any of it. I just assumed that, you know, it's pretty critically panned and everybody thinks it's shit. But as a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing that this superhero was on TV.
It was interesting because I think they made, I'm pretty sure they made a Spider-Man movie. Maybe I made that up, but I'm pretty sure they did.
No, they made a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, really low budget. They basically just had these weird deals with Marvel. This was back in the 80s, and they just had no concept that Marvel could actually sell these movies to be what they are today. But they made them, and I remember watching them and like, oh, there's a freaking Spider-Man movie. That's so cool. And even I, as a 6-year-old, was like, I'm pretty sure I could make a better movie than this. I don't know anything about cameras, but I'm pretty sure me and my friends could make something more compelling than this piece of garbage.
There are a bunch of things that I tie together as a kid where I remember the Captain America movie and I tie that together with the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon.
Which one?
And I think there was I think Jaleel White's
the super, well, he was both of them. Are you talking about like the more Tiny Toon, like Looney Tunes one, or are you talking about the cool ass one?
I think just like one of the cool ass ones. I was just like too young to remember, but it was Sonic, and I think Mega Man had one as well.
Yeah, you did.
Mega Man.
Yeah, I remember those like cartoons along with the Captain America shitty movie, and then like movies like Nell. Do you remember Nell
with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Wait, Nell? Why are you tying that together with Captain America?
Because it's all the same era. Like those are shows that would just come on at like 3 p.m. on a
what?
Now summer vacation.
Nell's not Greg, a show, right?
It's a movie.
Nell's a movie, right?
No, she was like she was raised by like fireflies or something. I can't
wolves
remember what it was.
Or something, right?
Was it wolves? Yeah, something weird like that. And she just had her own made up language. It was an interesting role for Jodie Foster to take. But my question to you, Andy, is you've just spanned 3 decades of movies and TV. So you talked about the Spider-Man, the Captain America movie, which I think was like 86 or something like that. Nell was like mid to late 90s.
You just went from wolves to fireflies because of Last of Us.
Yeah.
Are you talking me?
I might be.
Oh, no. I was talking fireflies from freaking Nausicaa.
When Dr. Jerry Lovell, Liam Neeson, Oscar nominated for Schindler's List, discovers a young woman living alone in the backwoods of North Carolina, he is intrigued by her erratic behavior and unique pattern of speech. Together with a psychologist, Natasha Richardson, Lovell determines to pierce Nell's private world and protect her from the courts and a life of scientific study. In a race against time, in a system bent on shattering her spirit, he finds that the woman whose way of life he has sought to protect has transformed his own forever.
Andy's
in there with his fucking Captain America Frisbee shield watching now.
I tie that together with Fire in the Sky as well. It's all that same sort of era.
Watched that when you were a kid?
Yeah, that's terrifying. Kevin,
it traumatized really the hell
out
of me.
Yeah, I mean,
dude,
that's a scene.
That movie traumatized the hell. Tim, do you know at all about Fire in the Sky?
The plastic vacuum table thing?
So Fire in the Sky is a Fire in the Sky. There's all these like sort of these guys in this sort of country area, and it's like a group of four dudes. Apparently, it's based on true events or whatever. They're all just like kind of in the woods. I don't know. They're fucking shooting bottle caps. I don't know what people do in the woods.
Yeah.
But then, like a light shines down, and a guy gets abducted. And they're what the fuck is going on? And it's like, and it's so real. It's shot in such a real non-fiction way. And they all freak out. And then the guy.
Now, of course, you're talking about D.B. Sweeney, who I love from The Cutting Edge. Greg, you'll remember that. Topic.
I remember The Cutting Edge.
Remember Topic? And I remember watching The Cutting Edge being like, I really like this D.B. Sweeney guy. And then Fire in the Sky comes out. I was like, I'll watch another fun, lighthearted D.B. Sweeney movie. And they fucking drilled Tim. They vacuum suck him to a table and put a fucking drill through his eyeball.
Oh,
and it's
God.
The most terrifying thing. He's trying to scream through the latex they've covered up, and he can't get out.
There it is, Kev. No. There it is.
Horrifying.
There it is.
Horrifying.
Dude, Tim, this movie was so traumatizing, and it just and it's like sort of their take on it is this is a real event of how aliens would abduct you. Yeah. And they're doing all these weird experiments to him, and then he comes back to Earth. And people think that he's gone or dead or whatever. Well, and he comes back and everybody's like, oh, my God, he's back. And he's so traumatized by these events or whatever that eventually, like, I think Buzz Aldrin ends up like kind of saying like, you know.
Right. Really?
Was it Buzz Aldrin in the movie?
No, I don't know.
At one point, Neil Armstrong shoots someone.
I'm serious.
This is based off of real events. One man went missing for like 4 days and then reappeared. And basically, the friends had said, oh, yeah, he was abducted by an alien. And then later when they found him, he was really, really traumatized. And I think that, like, through hypnotherapy, they got this version of the story where he goes through this experience that they, like, show us in the movie.
And torture.
Yeah. But it's, that being said, scary. You guys and know that this plastic thing? Yeah, that's a sex kink. You can find videos of it on porno.
Everything's a sex. No, I've seen those videos on, like, real sex back in the day where you're trying to watch something to sort of wank it to. You want to watch something to crank it to, and they're showing you weird shit. Like, all right, get to the cool stuff. Like, this is weird shit.
Do you say crank watching, it to?
We were watching Insomnia last night, and there was all the Alaska stuff and, like, just the cold weather and shit. And it reminded me of this movie that was equally horrifying to this Fire in the Sky thing called Alive, where it was Kevin's mom's favorite movie.
Cannibal,
and it was
right?
also based on a true story, where there was some soccer team whose plane crashed.
Soccer. What's the other one?
Rugby.
Yeah, thank you. Argentinian.
An Argentinian rugby team crashed in the mountains somewhere, and they had to survive just with what they had. And eventually, they turned to eating each other and shit, which is freaking horrifying. When you're like,
that's the same era movie. Same era movie.
And, but the thing was, you guys didn't. You just had to deal with the scary movie. You guys didn't need to deal with Kevin's older sister and Kevin's mom. Kevin's mom would literally have his older sister hold us down as Kevin's mom would pretend to eat us.
No, and I didn't say
that. That's just adorable. Great. I'm not going to eat your little baby feet, right?
Yeah, didn't like that. Didn't like that.
Tim, do you know that, like, there is a lot of like, the rugby team hid that part of the story for a long time, and it wasn't until way later they came out with, like, this is what we had to do. And, like, I think the Pope forgave them or something. That helped a lot.
Thank God.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, dude. That would not be the first thing I'd choose to share with people if I got rescued.
Yeah, I believe they hid it for a while.
I would try to hide it for a bit, probably, because I think that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it's 2020. Maybe people are looser about this, but I think cannibalism is still frowned upon, question mark?
For now, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if you crash in the Indies, you need to survive.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So man, I'm having this visceral memory.
They were eating people that were dead. Sorry, Andy, you're having a visceral memory about being eaten alive?
No, I'm just having this visceral memory that I swear there was some depiction of a past American astronaut in Fire in the Sky. Please, somebody in the comments, rid me of this.
This is like when you were convinced that Robin Williams taught the gorilla sign language.
I mean, there was a lot of truth in that. He didn't teach the gorilla sign language. He was communicating with. Yeah, and they were the gorilla was a big fan of his. A big fan of his.
Yeah. Man. It's just one of those memories that you could have sworn is real. Speaking of memories that you swear are real, actually, bad segue. But Nick, I started watching a little show called Narcos.
Oh, finally?
I am in season 2 of Narcos.
What? How awesome are Boyd Holbrook and Pedro Pascal in
They're
that
just
show.
The coolest. They're the coolest.
And the guy, I forget the actor's name, but the guy that plays Pablo Escobar is so fucking good. Everyone's so
the thing about Narcos is I wouldn't put it on the level of a Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones. It's kind of like junk food at this point, but it's still really interesting. But at this point, they are straight up just kind of obviously they have to accentuate and exaggerate a lot of the evil.
There is literally, like, that's what's so fascinating about Narcos is it's legitimately, I mean, I'm sure a little bit of it's crazy and made up, but I mean, or hyperbolic, but, like, if you watch documentaries of what Pablo Escobar did back then, it's pretty spot on. Like, he was fucking ultra violent to the point where, I don't know if you've gotten, how far are you in season 2?
Escobar years, right? I know how ultra violent he is. I know that he's this crazy murderer, but they're straight up, like, Gus Fringing him where this guy's like, guys, fucking... like this gang's coming and he's like, guys, Pablo Escobar is weak right now. He's weak. We don't have to worry about him. And Pablo Escobar walks out of the showers and he's like, voila. And it's like, okay, like, come on. That didn't really happen this way. I mean, maybe it's cool shit. But it's really shit.
Did you get to the part where he made his own prison? Where they tell him he has to go to jail, and he goes, cool, I'll go to jail, but I'm going to build the prison and staff it with all my guys and still basically run my billion-dollar drug empire from it. And the government was like, yeah, okay, cool, that's a fair deal.
It's unbelievable. Like, the stuff that happens in this show, I mean, like, Pablo Escobar was just on another level of, I am ahead of all of you right now, and there's no way you can ever catch up. It's
what are the
so
narco
terrifying.
Fan base called?
What's that?
What's the narco fan base called?
Narcolepsy.
You want to try that again? You want to go one more time?
It was a home run.
He's knocked out of the park. I don't know, Tim. What do you think? Narcos? They call them the Narcos?
I don't know. The Narcs?
I don't know. The Narcs, yeah. I don't know.
I think it's really good. I'm more excited to get to Mexico, though.
Oh, Diego Luna is awesome.
I really want to get in
Mexico are fucking great.
I want to get a piece of that Diego Luna, but I'm definitely enjoying it. I don't think it's a show that I'm not even having to fully pay attention to, because you get to the story beats and it's not like, again, it's not like if I miss a line of dialogue here or there, at this point, it's kind of just junk food for me. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's creepy in some parts. It's really dark and sinister in some parts, but I think it's a damn good show. I'm glad I thought to watch it on my own.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad you've never heard anyone plead with you to watch that show and tell you how awesome Pedro Pascal looks in his Levi's. Did you, the best part of that show is Boyd Holbrook's voice narrating it. He's like, we've been living under a rock for the last 10 years. Pablo Escobar was the, it's just fucking awesome. Have you guys, Tim, have you guys actually watched Narcos?
No. I saw it for a little bit. Gio was watching it.
Yeah. But Andy's spot on. It's not the best show ever made, but it moves very, very fast. Unlike, I started watching this show called 000. On Amazon, which is an Italian, it's like
the Italian version. I swear you people make some of these shows up just to fuck with me.
I swear to God, this is a show that we were, Dee and I were watching some Amazon stuff over the weekend. And you know how they have like a little preview for the other Amazon Prime stuff? I was like, oh, this is 000 show looks cool. It's like, it's Narcos, but it's in Italy. So, you know, that could be a cool change of venue. But it's a Canal Plus show. So it's like European. It's so slow compared to what we're used to. I'm like, did these people watch Narcos and just think this was way too fast? Because they've slowed it down. It's like, Tim, we're like, I need to fill a little bit more time. So you select the whole clip and then do a time. And then you got like negative, like 90%. You know what I mean? Just slow it down just a little bit. 95%. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
A little
like.
Speed duration.
Yeah. Just they slowed it down a little.
Again, but we're at this point where I'm holding up my end of the bargain, Nick.
I got to watch Nirvana, the band, the show, the band.
All right.
Is that what it's called?
You just had to add one more. you know damn well the name of the
band. Wait, do I have to watch Nirvana, the band, the show, the band, the band? Or do I have to watch Nathan for You for Me? For You.
Oh, Nathan for You is a good one, too. I mean, the thing is, though, I am on season 2 of hour-long shows.
Yeah.
And Nathan for You and Nirvana, the band, the show are each like 23-minute episodes.
You can honestly skip season 4 of Narcos if you want.
Season 4? I thought it was two seasons.
Let me talk to you about the world that they have built in Narcos.
There's a lot of drugs.
The first two seasons are about the Colombian drug trade, where the drugs are made. And then because of the DEA cracking down on the delivery methods that routed the drugs through Miami, it made the Mexican drug lords. Like that, it made that the primary route to the West Coast for America, which basically took all these smaller cartels in Mexico and like made them into one Uber cartel, basically called the Sinaloa cartel, which is headed by Diego Luna. And it's awesome how he brings all of these smaller cartels together and forms like a mega cartel in Mexico.
Wait. But aren't they? I'm so confused with how they are delivering this show, because it's Narcos season 1 and 2.
So Narcos season 3. Is a totally Narcos, different cast.
But
totally
Narcos cast. Mexico
is Narcos season 3, but it is told. It is basically picks up a story. It's a little bit of a spoiler for you, Andy, but it'll whet your appetite. It picks up the story of Diego Luna and how the Sinaloa cartel forms and how they start running drugs for Pablo Escobar. So they're basically, they don't make any of the cocaine. They simply pick it up and take it across the border and deliver it.
I always thought Narcos Mexico was just a completely different offshoot side story that had really nothing to do with. Well,
maybe some of the other characters pop back up.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Is your appetite way now, Andy?
Mm-hmm. You don't know when it starts. You don't really know what's been going on in Colombia. You get hints of what's happening, but it picks up with Diego Luna and he's like a cop in Sinaloa and he's also a drug runner. It's
just nuts that I'm at a part right now where Tim, Pablo Escobar is using taxis to hide in, and he's sort of like just hiding in the trunk because he's definitely on the run right now. Like they raided his hotel. Again, Tim, the guy made a jail for himself
in the middle of nowhere. Wait, that's
because they were going to arrest him and they were going to try to extradite him to America so that he could suffer in American jail, because jails in Colombia are fucking easy. Like they bring in prostitutes to jail in Colombia. Oh my God. It's just like a vacation home or whatever.
If you're like Pablo Escobar. Yeah.
And so Pablo Escobar was like, I don't want to go to America. I'm going to build my own jail here. And they basically built a giant compound where him and all his cronies just chill. And it's like a vacation home.
Not only did they chill, they fucking murdered people in it. They would have people come in and he assassinated people in the jail.
He made an agreement with the government to say, I don't want any armed service vehicles. I don't want any army or military to be within 2 miles of this compound. Yeah. This is part of the deal.
Yeah. What had happened was he was so powerful that he got a little too crazy and started offing presidential candidates. And then the government was like, we have to arrest you now because no matter how corrupt we are, you can't be killing presidents. And he goes, fuck you. And so he basically started a terror campaign against Colombia to the point where the government was like, we don't have a choice. We don't have the resources to fight this guy. He's got billions of dollars and he's willing to do whatever it takes for us to stop. So he fought the Colombian government to a standstill to the point where they had to come to the table and negotiate with him. And his negotiation was, I will go to jail for like the tax evasion or something small like that. And I will build my own jail. I will staff it with my own people.
I think it was possession of drugs.
Yeah, it was like this guy's like the biggest drug lord on the fucking planet. And he's murdered multiple people, both physically and ordered the murders of them and just terrorized Colombia. And they were like, we'll get you for like a misdemeanor crime because that's all they could allow.
He had a kid go on an airplane with a recording device to record people in the government, and he was like, hey, you're going to get on this plane. You're going to sit next to these really important government people. I need you to get really close to them to record them. It wasn't a recording device. It was a bomb.
Holy shit.
And the whole plane exploded. And then they show real footage of the plane on the ground with bodies like being rolled up, like when the coroners went over there to like, and he killed 200 people or whatever on this passenger plane. And it's just like, he's a fucking psychopath.
He was crazy.
And that's why
the show is so cool, is because they actually intercut it with, like, you forget for a second. You're like, oh, this is really beautifully shot, and they've got these great actors, and the whole thing, you just kind of, you think it's fictitious, and then they'll cut to real news footage, and you're like, fuck me.
So how accurate is it? Is it being dialed up to be dramatized or no?
A lot of the stuff, I don't know, but I know that a lot of the major beats of, like, what he did actually happened. So he actually tried to assassinate like political people. He was on the run for a while and then ultimately like went to jail and then escaped when people figured out, because what happened was they figured out that he was like still running his empire and I think had killed someone in the jail, and they're like, well, we got to go arrest him. And everyone's like, wait a minute, like we have to go arrest him from jail? We have to go raid a jail to arrest someone? Because what we wanted was, you're talking like Reagan era. Like, remember Reagan's like war on drugs? They wanted Pablo Escobar in America so that he could serve time in America, and they wanted to extradite him. And so in order not to do that, he was like, I'm going to stay here and I'll serve like 2 years in prison or whatever. And it was going to wash away everything, and then he just couldn't hold it together.
Yeah, because he had two of his homies murdered in jail. He killed them because he thought that they were stealing money from him.
Right.
And then that's when they cut to the white DEA American voiceover, and he's like, 2,000 military people raided his jail that day or whatever. And he escaped in the jungle.
He built an escape tunnel in his own jail. Amazing. Of course he did.
And so, then they
you guys talk about jails and how, like, so that here he built his own jail to have their own rules because American jails are, you know, gonna not be as nice. I've been hearing some things about some American jails recently.
Looking into American jails.
And I'm just like, there's so many things that they get access to that I'm just like, I feel like people in jail shouldn't have access to Instagram, right?
Well, that's a tough one because they have to have, like, to a degree, I think they have to have access to the internet because it's kind of a public utility at this point, right? I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't know. I think it's weird, personally. And again, I might be speaking out of turn here, but I'm bringing this up because, and I'm going to use fictitious names here to not expose anyone.
I'm gonna name him Craig.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
I went to middle school with this guy Craig, and we were fairly good friends. We would take the bus to school together every day, and we'd always hang out. We'd skateboard. We'd talk about Kingdom Hearts, normal boy stuff. You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden, we go to different high schools, but we still kind of remain a little bit close. By the time we're in college, we kind of like stop talking. We because we go to different colleges, whatever. About a year ago, I'm hanging out with one of Gia's friends, and she's like, oh, what middle school did you go to? And I named the middle school I went to. And she's like, oh, do you know Craig? I'm like, yes, I know Craig. I took the bus with him every day to school. And she goes, oh, did you know? So me and I know him because like we used to have a thing. I was like, that's random as hell. That's super weird. And he's like, yeah, did you know he's arrested? I was like, what the fuck? For what? Murder. And I was like, whoa, didn't see this happening. That's crazy. What
apparently
the fuck
he
happened?
Murdered someone on the school bus the day you didn't come.
weird gang shit he got into. And in the sunset of San Francisco, he went to a house party and straight up shot a fool. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is the craziest story I've ever heard about someone I personally know. And they're like, yeah. And then he tried to flee the country to go back to his home country of Mexico.
Yeah.
And he goes to get onto a plane to go to this place. And the cops are there waiting for him.
Yeah.
And like, no, you're done. So they throw him in jail. And I started looking this up. There's a bunch of police reports about it. This is a real ass story. And I'm like, this is the fucking craziest thing I've ever heard. Then I don't think about it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Until this week.
Uh-oh.
When I check my DMs on Instagram.
Oh, God.
No.
And I get a DM from Craig. Holy shit. What's up, Tim? I'll always remember taking the bus with you every day. It's crazy seeing you do big things. Congrats, man. And I'm like, what the fuck? How are you Instagramming me? This is crazy.
That's terrible. I mean, that's
so real quick. That's scary, the end of the story, I guess.
Yeah, it's the end of the story.
Yeah. Because Instagram is not allowed in jail. Like, that's not a thing. There's a whole... I remember some people getting in trouble for this because they were Instagramming or maybe it was Facebook Living from jail, to which the authorities got notified and went over there like, give us your fucking contraband phone. Like, you're not supposed to Instagram from jail. That's not like something.
So you're saying he probably has a contraband phone, like, well, people, I mean, get all the time.
I watched Orange is the New Black. They're hiding him in toilets and up on fucking bricks you move and shit.
But you could go to, like, I think they have libraries where you have access to the internet, right? But like, you can't, yeah, like, you can arguably. Do, like, people get.
But here's the thing is, what we're doing is painting with a broad brush. But I know for a fact that I've listened to either This American Life or Death, Sex, and Money, where they talk to inmates. And one of the questions was like, you know, what do you know that you don't know? And they were talking about not understanding the internet. Like, they'd been in there for so long, they don't have the internet and they don't know what that is. So I don't know if that's true, but most jails, I think, are, you know, there's different security levels and things like that, where I'm sure on some level you're able to do certain things and certain other things, but you're not allowed to be fucking Instagramming. Maybe he has an Instagram account. Yeah. And is using his DMs. Wait, from jail.
Are you sure this guy is still in jail?
Yeah. So that was a good question. Yeah.
Invite him over.
I'm going to be real. I didn't look into this. I was freaked out by the fact that somebody I know that murdered someone was messaging me. I'm happy it was a positive message. I'm happy he has fond memories of me.
Sure. Yeah.
That happened to me too. That happened to me too. Here from Vice. Years ago.
Oh, go ahead. Vice stuff. This is a Vice article by Seth Ferrantini from 2015, so not the most recent, but how prison inmates get on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Recently, I called an inmate in the California State Prison System to get the lowdown on the availability of smartphones in prisons, what they're used for, and how much they cost. My source told me that prisoners are posting to Facebook, uploading videos and photos to Instagram, and tweeting directly from their cell blocks. There have been plenty of reports about this trend, but most of them are centered around the use of contraband and illegal cell phones and prison authorities' attempts to combat their use. But as a former prisoner, I know that you don't need a cell phone to gain access to social media. I began my career as a writer from the inside, but enjoying the platforms while in the answer. This is a longer article, so it's not as quick an answer, but it does seem to it's a contraband here. Sorry, what were you going to say, Andy?
No, I mean, I had something similar happen to me, Tim, with a guy from high school that it wasn't a surprise to me what happened with the crime, because we all knew it happened in high school. I've told the story before, but he and two other classmates of ours, he was more of an accessory to it or whatever. So he got, I think, 12 years in jail. But this girl and this other guy they strangled her grandmother. Jeez. to steal her car and run away. And he was a part of it. And I've known this guy since elementary school. But we weren't like necessarily super close through middle school or through high school or whatever. But I've known him for a long time, and he was a part of it as well. But he kind of the judge said that he wasn't fully a part of this crime or whatever. So he only served 12 years. But then I remember getting a Facebook message from him being like, wait, aren't you supposed to be in jail? I was like, oh, shit, it's been 12 years. that's crazy. And I like looked up the article from way back in the day because I just kind of like Googled names and Googled the crime or whatever. And I saw so-and-so gets 12 years in prison or whatever. And everybody else gets, I think they had more like life sentences, even though they were minors at the time, but they were given like way bigger sentences. And yeah, I had that sort of same Facebook message being like, oh my God, this is freaky as hell. And he was out. He was out and he was like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get back into the workforce. I'm trying to, you know, improve my life or whatever. And I was like, fuck, that's crazy, bro. That's nuts.
Yeah. How long are you in jail for this then?
Yeah, it was only like 12 years or whatever, but still, it's very, very bizarre. Very bizarre.
Did you guys see that article about the guy that went to jail for, he got tried as an adult when he was like 17 and shot someone, got out of jail and is now, I think he served like 15 years, rehabilitated himself, got a degree, is now a paralegal who's like helping other people try to like reform. And apparently through some weird loophole on his probation, they were like, yeah, we fucked up. You got to go back to jail. And he's like,
holy
what?
Shit.
And they're like, yeah, this is like 2 weeks ago. So it could have been.
I remember hearing about this.
Yeah, I already take care of. But like, they're basically like, yeah, there was some weird thing that someone didn't do somewhere. And they were like, yeah, we need to. When you came up to what do they call it when you go in front of the board to, I guess, the probationary board to see if they'll let you out, and they let him out and they're like, no, we fucked up, you got to go back to jail for like 17 years. And he's
God,
what? Like, so now he's like in a mad scramble to get an appeal together before they have to like put him back in jail. It's fucking heartbreaking. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, damn.
I hope it works out for him, because it sounds like he legitimately is like one a good case of someone who did something really stupid when he was young, paid for it, and has now turned his life around and is now helping other people turn their lives around, which you would think goes a long way. But
that's crazy. And like, this is obviously a very different type of story, but it's similar in the sense of like doing something like very bad and then turning it around. Like, there's this guy that is infamous in San Francisco for attempting suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, and he lived.
Oh, did he hit the water?
He hit the water totally and lived. And has totally like changed his life to like stand up against suicide and like be there to be kind of the face of, you know, prevention for all that type of stuff. And like, it's nuts because he's just kind of like this SF like legend that has always goes to different high schools and stuff and like teaches like classes and like does special like reporting and stuff. But it's just crazy where it's like those type of experiences can totally flip you to the other side of just like trying to better it, trying to make, you know, help people not make the same mistakes you did. And obviously, they're very different things for committing crimes and that. But
well, this podcast has gone places.
Is that the end of that guy? Because I thought you were going to tell me like the story for the guy jumping off the bridge and surviving was now they're trying to arrest him or something. Yeah.
No. That's the end. It's not totally the same, but
right. I think you can get arrested for that though. Attempted like when you
commit suicide. It's trespassing, right?
No,
because you're not.
Is it trespassing?
I was going to say that was like you're not allowed to climb over it. No, I don't. I think it's true. But they've also added a bunch of nets too to catch people.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever seen them? I look for one. I'm up there. I don't see them.
No, they're like well placed. You're not supposed to see them.
Right? Okay. I don't know. I just know that the bridge apparently whistles now. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah.
They like fuck something up. And now, like at night when
it howls or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it like howls. They screwed some. D was telling me about it. She reads all this stuff. I just get it anecdotally through her. But
it was new like railings or something.
Yeah. And when the wind hits, it just walk away. It goes, it sounds like a wolf or some shit. It's terrifying.
Dude, so this is, Kevin Hines is his name. Jump now, said the voice in Kevin Hines' head. And I did. I was compelled to die. Hines leaped over a rail on the Golden Gate Bridge in September of 2000 and began a free fall that would reach 75 miles per hour on impact. The moment his fingers left the railing, he felt instant regret. I thought it was too late. I said to myself, what have I done? I don't want to die, says Hines, now 38. I realized I made the greatest mistake of my life. He fell about 240 feet in just 4 seconds, crashing feet first into the waters below, crushing spinal vertebrae and breaking an ankle, but he survived. Now Hines travels the world to speak about suicide prevention and mental health, telling a story to help others stay alive.
That is crazy shit, man. That's like, I don't believe in divine intervention, but that's about as much proof as you're ever going to get that divine intervention scooped it and said, you need to go talk to people about this and be a voice for positivity in people's lives. That's crazy. Did you guys ever watch The Bridge? The documentary they made about
people jumping.
Like, it's
fun. I've always wanted to, but I couldn't find it when I heard about it and then kind of forgot about it.
I think you can rent it on Prime Video. I don't think it's streaming anywhere else, but I always wanted to watch it too. But it always is such a macabre subject matter of like, apparently the Golden Gate Bridge is like one of the number one or top 10 spots for people to go in the world to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Just fucking crazy to think
about. Real quick from curb.com. Here's why the Golden Gate Bridge was singing. This is Brock Keeling. June 8th, 2020. On Friday, the Golden Gate Bridge doubled as a musical instrument as wind passed through its hollowed arches, resulting in a creepy and ghostly tune heard for miles. Quote, can someone explain to me why this eerie sound has been going on for an hour in San Francisco? Albert Martinez tweeted from the Presidio. The reason for the chilling aria? Wind vibrating against new sidewalk railing slats installed along the span's bike path. Quote, the new musical tones coming from the bridge are a known and inevitable phenomenon that stem from our wind retrofit during very high winds, said the guy from the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District in a written statement. As part of the design process, the district did extensive studies on the impacts of the project, including wind tunnel testing on a scale model of the Golden Gate Bridge under high winds. These tests, as seen in the video here, showed that the bridge would begin to hum when air passed freely over its roadway. The high winds on Friday passing west through the 83-year-old span caused the tune. After the bridge crooned its first few bars, people like this commuter driving on the connection roadway and this person over here posted videos of it. Reactions to the bridge's performance were mixed. Quote, the city is now one bit. The city is now one big David Lynch movie, said KQED reporter Gabe Mellon. I think it's such a pretty noise. I don't want to say this is somebody else, Tony Burton. I don't want to say change it. But one person whose sentiment was shared by many over Twitter. Quote, this is going to be seriously cause people to lose their minds. Possibly me. So far, there are no plans.
I sent you a link in assets.
It's one of those things where you think how much can you get used to, right? Because I can hear the fog. I don't know if you guys can hear the fog horns where you are, but I can hear the fog horns from where my apartment is. And sometimes it's nice. We are like, oh, that's kind of a soothing sound of like far off in the distance. You hear like, you know,
yeah.
But every like maybe once or twice a year, somebody fucking nudges the dial on those goddamn things, and it becomes so loud it sounds like someone's right outside my window with a foghorn, and like at 3 o'clock in the morning it just goes to like 6 a.m. when it's super foggy out.
I think you can get used to a lot of stuff. I think, you know, in the sunset, obviously, over by the old studio, remember every Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month, the tsunami sirens used to go off, and now I think they're fixed or whatever, and it was that thing the first few times, like, what the fuck, and then you blot it out. And it's the same thing of living in the sunset and uni rolling by or whatever.
Was it every single Tuesday?
It was
every single Tuesday. Sorry, my
apologies. This is a test. Yeah, I repeat, this is only a test.
It's free.
The emergency. And then it would be system. Yeah, then it would go on in another language, and then it would go for a while. But I think you get used to that.
Kind of stuff. Play the sound real quick.
That's freaky, dude.
It sounds like the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like the teleporters, right?
Whoa, yeah. Like when something's like, yeah, you're right.
Teleporting in, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great call.
You would think that if someone's like, hey, that's not something people are going to put up with. But an engineer was like, it's fine.
So it's those are the problem? Yeah, those guards?
Yeah, those new guards, yeah. Yeah. Do you guys, and this is a question that I think is interesting for Kevin and Tim, who've lived here their entire lives. Me and Nick, who've been here a while, and Andy, who's been here, what, 4 years? Now? Is that right, Andy? 3? That was like the weirdest way to throw it. 3? Because that could have, you did that. Like this. That could have easily still been 4. All right, 3. anyways,
it'll be 4 in April.
Do you guys still get a charge out of going over the Golden Gate Bridge? Did you ever get a charge out of it?
Yeah, every time.
Always. I get really excited when the zipper's going.
Oh, that thing is cool. Have you guys seen the zipper?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The
thing that, explain the zipper for the people who don't live here.
It's this giant, like, car-looking thing that moves the middle lane over one lane to allow more cars to transition over.
It looks like a Zamboni.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it sucks up the zipper from one side and then just shits it out on the other side.
Yeah.
To make a lane. So basically there's like a middle lane in on the Golden Gate Bridge that can go either way, and it'll do that, which is super cool. I actually get more of a charge. I used to get more of a charge going over the old section of the Bay Bridge. And here's why. Not the double decker, the one which, yeah, I guess it is the double decker. Whichever one goes once you get through Treasure Island, you get to that really old, beautiful section of the Bay Bridge that looks like a New York bridge. Mm. Like it's the same architecture as you see in New York. And every time I do that, I hum the Sopranos theme to myself. Because remember when the Sopranos used to start to go boom, 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 and you would just see just the perspective of someone driving across the bridge into Manhattan, or maybe it's out of Manhattan, Jersey. I can't remember but yeah, that used to be. It's cool. It's cool to cross bridges like that.
I guess driving on the bridge is cool, but I really like seeing the bridge kind of close up, where like when you see it over, when you go up a hill and you sort of see it crest above the horizon. Yeah, yeah. I think that's so cool to me, because it just reminds me of, I don't know, it just reminds me of like sci-fi, where there's like this giant structure that is so huge and so tall that you can still see it from really far away. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool as hell. And the bus that I used to take to go to middle school every day with the murderer would literally go right next to Golden Gate Bridge.
Allegedly.
No, it's not alleged when he's convicted.
That's when you lose the alleged,
though, when they go to prison, because they still say it.
It was one of those things where every morning I would be within 30 feet of the Golden Gate Bridge just by like going on the bus that would do the little loop-de-loop, and like every single morning it was still like an epic moment. Like it felt like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Look at our king in the back.
Where is he?
He was prancing.
He walked by already. I've been getting a lot of tweets recently about people finally starting to watch the Michael Jordan documentary. I don't want to talk about the documentary any more than we already have. It's finally hit American Netflix, and it's really cool that people are finally getting to enjoy that piece of just like art, you know?
Hell yeah.
It's just pure art. Pure art.
I want to watch it again.
You didn't finish it, Greg?
We as the house watched one episode of it, and then we started another episode, and Jen was like, I'm not feeling this, and me and Luce were like, all right, and we never
went back. Oh god.
Greg, you should watch it, because I know you don't know a lot about Chicago, but it's a pretty important time in Chicago's history. So just out of respect for a time.
It's like at the end of the Pee Wee movie, right? Where I don't have to watch it, Daddy. I lived it.
Look, I mean, like, the thing is, I think if you could watch it and sort of, you could be the touchstone to for Jen to be there, because God knows she's making you watch fucking, you know, what's she making you watch? Just a bunch Amelie. Of weird ass.
She's always making you watch all the French movies.
Amelie over and over and over.
Yeah.
Dude, Amelie's such a good movie, guys.
It's a great movie. Yeah, it is really good. I'd watch that again.
I was trying to think of the British movie, or the British TV show that everybody loves. Downton Abbey. I don't know why I went there.
I was thinking how to make us watch, you know what I mean? Understand her culture, and I don't want to.
Greg, the Last Dance is legitimately like transformative for me. That was an experience that I don't think I was an adult until I finished the last episode of that.
Wow.
I don't think I understood loss, and I don't think I understood greatness until I finished the last episode of The Last Dance. Truth be told, it's actually like sad. It's really sad.
Here's one of the things I think that you can trace it back to this too, is this that there was a two-lane highway that then forked, and you guys went the Last Dance route, and I went Undertaker the Last Ride route, and I watched all that instead.
Hey, I get more close. Why not both?
Exactly.
Why not both?
How heartbreaking is the last, like when they're talking to Jordan for the last time, and he's like, I think we could have done it again. I think we could have done it one more time.
That's not heartbreaking. It's awesome.
It's so fucking good, though, because they could have done it. They could have, Andy. They could have done it one more time.
We trust them.
They could have done it one more time.
Just give them the rings, right? Give them all those rings.
Give them the fucking rings.
Except 99, because the Spurs won in 99.
There you go.
Don't give them that one.
You rub that in, bro.
Don't give them that one. I wouldn't want them to have that one. Greg, you got Tim really excited before the show started, because Tim was like, Greg has got some stuff to talk about.
Sure.
What are these things?
Well, I'll get to it in 1 second, because this, ladies and gentlemen, is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five
friends
gather on this table, each coming to talk to you about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can be part of the show. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your topics, your everything else in our lives. You can watch it live as we record it, just like Tim Keen is, Lexi G is, the Lou is. You can have a great old time doing that. Of course,
Lexi Gunner!
You get the show. Excuse me, I'm talking. You can get the show ad-free there. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do there. If you subscribe at the right level, you can get the gold topic of the Game Over Greggy show we're recording after this today. A lot of content for you. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get the show for free with ads, no post show. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Now, Andy.
What's up,
Greg? I'm excited to tell you about what I said to get Tim excited. But first, I have to tell you about our Patreon producers. Mohammed Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo. Kieran O'Donnell. Steve Powers. Julian, the gluten-free gamer. Delaney Twinning. Lee Polero. Blackjack. Mike Morneau. Is that, how am I saying that one wrong? Andy, usually correct me. Mike Morneau.
I don't even know.
Well, man. Christian Figueroa, Steve Combs. Today, we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Purple Mattress. And hey, I'll tell you about them right now. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Have you ever watched The Office? If you have, you probably know it's based on the UK series, also called The Office. But did you know that there are 9 other countries with their own versions of The Office that you've never seen? Well, you probably didn't know about them because they're not usually available in your country, but you can access them all and a whole bunch of other content from around the world with no geo restrictions when you use ExpressVPN. See, ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from nearly 100 different countries, giving you access to content that isn't available in your region. If you are watching shows or movies, ExpressVPN is a must-have. For less than $7 a month, ExpressVPN lets you access thousands of new shows and movies on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and tons of other streaming services. It's a no-brainer. And it couldn't be easier to use. Just fire up the ExpressVPN app on your computer or TV, select the location, and hit connect. ExpressVPN is also incredibly fast and doesn't slow down anybody's internet connection. I know Cool Greg has been using it to stream different cartoons. He's never had an issue with his HD quality. So get the most out of your streaming services today at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. If you use my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, expressvpn.com/kindoffunny to learn more. Our next sponsor, why it's Purple Mattress. Technology has improved just about everything. Phones, cars, shopping, you name it. Yet, mattresses have more or less been the same since the invention of sleep. But we deserve better, and finally, the mattress has evolved thanks to Purple. The secret to Purple is the Purple Grid. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. Purple is for every body, no matter how you sleep. Purple is designed with over 2,800 open air channels and naturally temperature neutral gel. You'll never sleep too hot or too cold. The Purple mattress is soft where you want it, firm where you need it, and comfortably cool all over. It's truly a mattress that does it all. Of course, we know this because the one and only Tim Geddes, Forbes 30 under 30, lays his head every night on a Purple mattress pillow. And he won't stop talking about how good the pillow is in terms of quality, but more importantly, temperature control. Never gets too hot, never needs to flip it. It's just perfect. You can count on resting easy night after night, year after year, because of the ultra durable Purple Grid won't sink or lose shape. Purple is so confident in what they do that every Purple mattress comes with free shipping and returns and a risk-free 100-night trial. Experience the next evolution of sleep. Go to purple.com/kindoffunny and use the promo code kindoffunny. For a limited time, you'll get $150 off any Purple mattress order of $1,500 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny for $150 off any mattress order of $1,500 or more. Terms apply. All right.
Andy. So Figueroa, or whatever his last name was, said that we pronounce it incorrectly
every time
in the show.
Okay.
Which concerns me because it seems like a very Latino last name, and I'm very, very sad that I got it incorrect because it looked like Figueredo or something like that. I forgot how it was spelled. F-I-G-U-E-R-D-O. D-O?
I think you're adding a syllable when you said it. Isn't it? Wouldn't it just be like 3 syllables?
Figueredo?
More like Guer, right? In the middle,
yeah, but it's always like, yeah, like, you know, there's always that pronunciation on it.
So yeah, you got that.
Can you copy paste it and Slack it to me again, Greg?
Sure,
please do that.
Maybe we should ask that channel, that one channel that pronounces things, how to pronounce it.
Betsy Tula, Toilacha. It's my Andy, favorite thing of 2020.
Yeah,
there's not that much in 2020 to be happy about, so we have to focus on the good things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's Figueredo, it's gotta be. There's no other thing it can be.
Let's get an easy one out of the way before you have to go to World War III about yet another food question, all right?
Cool. Sure.
The first question is Andy Mack, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, what cheese do you put on a burger? So not if you order a burger, are you getting cheese? Sure. Why are all, when you Google hamburger, why are all the Google images cheeseburgers? Question is simple. You're gonna get a what kind of cheese would you put on a burger? Tim Gettys. You did it for focus, but it looked like you were raising your hand now. You get to.
Yeah. I mean, what am I gonna put on a burger? Just be American. Because that's the basic shit that I am. But like if I was ordering.
I was just agreeing with your American.
Jeez. Oh, it sounded like you were laughing at him. That's why I thought
you were crying. Said,
oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, like you were laughing like a, you silly bitch. I thought you were kind of doing that.
Yeah.
This is the type of thing where it's like, I'm just a fan of cheese on burgers. Blue, get out of here with blue. That's not actual cheese. If you like blue, sure, fine, whatever. I don't. But it's like, when it comes to a burger, American's the default. But it's like cheddar, whatever. Swiss, sure. Pepper jack. I usually go with pepper jack if I'm getting like jalapenos or some shit on it.
Pepper jack sounds cool. Like pepper here's jack. The thing, I don't even need to be a part of this conversation. I don't get cheese on my burger, but I'll go with pepper jack just because it sounds cool.
Quick thing, I would say American cheese. That's my default. But given the option, I'm gonna put some nacho cheese on that bitch.
Wow.
Jesus. Yeah. Fuddruckers. Fuddruckers. What are you laughing at?
No, you're right.
You've been there with me.
I know, but without the context of Fuddruckers that allows that, it's a pretty bizarre choice.
Fuddruckers
it
is great.
But Fuddruckers allows it, and so now, it's my favorite choice.
Me not being a seasoned cheeseburger eater, right? I never get cheese on my burgers. I prefer it without. There's a style of pizza that you can get at Peter Piper Pizza called the Chicago style. No. I don't know what the fuck it's called, actually. It might be Chicago style. Maybe not. I don't know. But it's got three cheese on it. It's got mozzarella. It's got... I don't even know what the fuck it has.
They usually call those pizzas the three cheese pizza, FYI.
It might be that. It might be that. Let me Google it, actually. Peter Piper...
Because Chicago style pizza is usually deep dish. Pizza.
Deep dish. Chicago style. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, it's called New York three cheese is what it's called. So let's see here. It's got mozzarella. It's got cheddar and provolone. And it's a mix of all these three cheeses. Is that, do people do that with burgers? Do you ever see burger eaters or do you all have experience with mixing cheeses?
No, because to me, the cheese has to complement whatever else you're putting on the burger. And inevitably, when you mix like a cheddar with a Swiss or a provolone, you're getting a weird combination of tastes, which is why for me, I think like if you're going to say, if we're at an outdoor barbecue and someone's like, what kind of, like, do you want a specific type of cheese? I tend to stay away from the white cheeses. I think the provolone or a Swiss on a burger doesn't really do anything for me. Provolone doesn't taste right. Swiss doesn't taste like anything. A thin slice of cheddar, and it can't be too sharp on top of a burger, is fine. But if you put an American slice, like if you take out the little plastic thing and open the lip and then unfold it. But you have to be careful, Greg, because I swear to God, one of my big pet peeves, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? You rip the corner of the cheese.
Oh, yeah.
You take it out of the packaging.
That's horrible. Who does that?
Eat it, because then it doesn't melt evenly. And I'm like, why is there like a weird piece of cheese? Why is my cheese deformed on this burger? Yeah. But I will say this. The goat for me, and I know it's not the default. I'm not trying to argue that this is the default. Is you got a good blue cheese on a burger with like bacon, like a crispy bacon. It goes a long way for me. That's all I need. No other condiments, nothing else. Take the bun off. Just give me the burger patty.
Okay, I respect that.
This Peter Piper pizza looks incredible on this website.
Let me see the picture.
Can I, guys?
It's a safe spot. You can say whatever you want.
Do it, everyone, say whatever.
Can I drive to Arizona or wherever the closest? Like, I would love to go back to Texas and work from home, and still work with Kinda Funny and work from home for the next 2 years. But
why the next two
Texas?
Years?
That's how long Corona's probably going to last.
Maybe oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
But right now the COVID situation in Texas is just like astronomically bad.
Arizona's not great either.
It is incredibly bad. Luckily, my mom just took a test and she was it came back negative, luckily. But my aunt positive. And my aunt is like really, really sick. Scary shit. But the nearest I guess Arizona's also pretty damn bad with Corona as well, because that's where we got Peter Piper at. I just want Peter Piper Pizza, dude. I miss it so much.
I'm sorry, Andy.
Kevin texted me this morning, unprovoked.
Sure.
Just so you know, if you're down to drive to LA to get Portillo's, I'm down. Tim, I'm down to do it. Those were separate texts. And I'm like, I'm not down. I just don't know when we would do this.
Yeah,
because I believe you coward. A quick 12-hour drive, probably less, no traffic. We could be back by 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So dedicated.
I just love the Kevin Coelho commitment to it. Because on one hand, it's like, hey, I've been wanting some Portillo's.
Yeah.
I was saying this recently. Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. But I just love that in his mind, like, not only did he want to do it, he wanted to do it today. A day that I was on multiple shows.
Dude, I get it, man.
I meant after this, you know?
Dude, the idea of taking a road trip right now, it sounds fucking great.
And here's the thing.
It's Miller unfortunate because everywhere you go, the coronavirus is still there. So, like, no matter how far you go, I think the allure of it is to get the fuck out of the city and try to find a better place.
But if we're in a car, we're fine. As long as we're wearing masks, maybe masks when...
Oh, no. I don't mean that. I just mean that when you get to Portillo's, you'll still just have to go through the drive-thru and sit in the...
That doesn't matter. You're there for the food.
Yeah, I'm there for food.
But you won't be able to, like, pee inside. Like, you'll have to just sit
in the... I don't care. I'll pee in the cup.
Are you sure about that? You might. Well, yeah, you know, Portillo's. But you'd have. There's gas stations you can pee at.
I don't.
Potentially, but literally, like, you got to be careful with that.
And
gas stations on the way, yes. But when you're eating at Portillo's, you're gonna and you have to go to the bathroom. You're gonna have to fucking figure out a place to go to the bathroom. It's gonna be closed inside. That's all I'm saying. So it's not. What I'm saying is, like, it's not as pleasurable as you guys think it is because you're gonna go down there. And we're like, oh, it's the Portillo's experience. The line's gonna be around the block. It's closed inside. It's not gonna be fun.
All I want is a lot of food and eat it in the car where I can hide my shame and no one can see it. Maybe two milkshakes. That's the situation I'm going to be in. And I'm going to hit
the
Del Taco
on
my way
down there. Kevin, if I can interrupt you and speak on behalf as your attorney and power of attorney, is that normally I'd be the one to try to stop you on the milkshakes. You know, you're lactose intolerant. Paula doesn't like you doing that. You're always on a juice cleanse with her.
Sure.
But on this one, I would go to the mat for you against Paula. You know what I mean? Like, this is the one where I'd be like, Mrs. Coelho, I need to explain that he just drove 7 hours to this Portillo's. He's allowed to go do whatever he wants.
Right?
This is the gorging period without judgment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I need you to understand that I will buy you a bath bomb. And then I think it'd be cool.
I was at a Noah's Bagel this morning, and I saw the guy that worked there yell at an old man. Because the guy walked in without his face mask and was slowly putting it on. And everyone in there was like, what the fuck are you doing, old man? I'm pulling it on. And everyone's like, put your fucking face mask on before you walk in, dumb shit. You fucking moron. That's where everyone's at right now. We're all on edge.
It's just the amount of people you see. We're out there hiking. We're out there doing the urban hikes. We're getting ready. We have a Yosemite trip coming up soon where we're going to do like the really intense hiking. You know what I mean? Like the fucking crazy. I'm going to be out there for hours and hours and hours. What was that?
Not urban anymore.
Yeah, no, this is real hiking. You know what I mean? I'm graduating from urban hiking. No longer Nick out there with his sunnies and his little chubbies on, drinking a nice coffee, walking 3 blocks, thinking that's a hike. I'm going out there. I'm climbing Everest. I'm going to see a mountain goat and a bald eagle do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit, dude.
Which one's the top in that situation, Greg?
Definitely the burn.
Definitely the burn. The top. Okay.
That's his business.
You can be real interested in goat. All right.
You know, you understand anatomy and biology. Come on. I forget where I was going. I had something I was going towards on this one, but now that got me. We got off.
I was gonna ask you what cheese you put in your burger.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, no. I would say, you know, 9 times out of 10 at a restaurant or whatever, you know, we're hitting up, you know, old Jenny's burger like back in the day. I'm going to get a pepper jack on there. But if I'm at home and we're cooking here, like it'll probably be an American or whatever. You're at a grilling thing, mm-hmm. Put some American on there or whatever. I think that's what it's all about.
Greg, can you and Jen make me shrimp linguine?
Yeah.
Soon?
Okay. But how are we going to feed it to you in the social distancing
period? I can go pick it up.
Dump it out. Oh, you just want to pick it up?
Yeah, or throw it in an Uber car, like no Jen, bowl, no container, just toss it in there.
Andy's asking if we can make him shrimp linguine and just bring it over. Like she says, yeah, that was an
all easy, right,
yeah.
Guys. Hold on, I found a solution for everyone.
She's also making sourdough. If you want sourdough, Andy,
don't take the sourdough. Don't.
I'll take garlic bread.
He wants to compromise and take garlic bread.
Andy,
all right, she'll do that.
How would you feel about me going to pick up the linguine for?
Why is Kevin want to be involved with everything?
I just want linguine. I just want the shrimp linguine portion.
The linguine, babe. He wants to drive the linguine to Andy. He wants to be the third party postmate in this situation.
That could be cool, Kev. I could be cool with that. Do I like leave you a tip?
Shrimp. If you want to give me one more shrimp, then like they agreed upon shrimp.
Oh my God. Tip. Andy, I have a better idea. Let's start. We know people who can develop apps. Let's start a Rate Kevin app. When anytime any of us have an interaction with Kevin, we just rate him out of 5 stars and then leave a comment.
Guys,
he can also rate us. He can also rate us, Kevin. That's
too much like that one Dark Mirror, but Black Mirror episode where it just
but like, it's only you, Kevin.
That
it's
episode you, really yeah, upset idea, me. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
I love this.
Because you guys know that I'd have like five stars.
Great, Kevin. That'd be great. Because it just needs to be out of five stars.
Yeah.
Then what it was, like a short form field of like what it was and what the date.
Your interaction with Kevin, what he did. Positive, negative, pros, cons. See, and then Kevin will rate you, though. Be careful. So here's how it goes. It swings both ways. You're going to rate Kevin. He might not have any idea who you are, but he will rate you back. Yep. And this is bad. This might be your this might be your only rating for the rest of your life. So just FYI, just be cool with it.
I wrote a couple weeks ago, Greg, I asked you about Portillo's because I wanted some Portillo's. And you're saying that you'd make it. And we were having a similar issue. Yep. So now Andy wants linguine. You and Jen love cooking, love doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you want? Because now we have a full system going. You just need to make your request for what you want Greg and Jen to make you. Kevin will go pick all of this up and bring it to us.
Dude, I've already, I mean, that's absolutely fine, but I've already had this fulfilled once and I would, I'm not like asking for them again, but if they came my way, I'd be okay with it because Jen was making chocolate chip cookies that were very, very, very good.
Yeah.
But that was like 2 months ago. And so I don't want to stress anyone out, but I know she's got that flour still.
You guys I know she got that flour.
Actually, can you believe we made it through that flour?
Are you shitting me?
Jen's been baked so much that we got through that giant, whatever it was, 50-pound bag of flour.
Do you guys remember when Greg got the cement bag of flour that like you look like it looks like someone went to Home Depot and bought?
I think they I don't think that because I'm with you. It was you and me. It was during Last of Us. It wasn't during a Kind of Funny podcast. During Last of Us stream, Jen got 100 pounds of flour delivered in two giant 50-pound bags. And God damn it, she made it through that 50. Yeah, you gave went away to professional chefs, right? Yeah, she's.
Yeah, laughing. The idea was that she accidentally hit the wrong thing, or you hit the wrong thing. She was trying to order 10 pounds of flour, right? Or like a pound of flour.
You couldn't get flour. This is when you couldn't get flour during the great COVID shortage.
Man, how crazy! How crazy was the beginning of COVID when everyone was like, "I have to hoard everything." I swear to God, I think my mom went to Costco and just bought them out. She was like, "Here's the card. I want everything."
It's
just
still everything. Semi an issue.
Well,
when I go to a store, it's like there'll be the thing I'm looking for is like out, or I have to like get a freaking peach pear flavor of LaCroix, and I'm like, God damn it!
We were driving by the old studio like 2 weeks ago. I think I was going there to like check the mail or something on the weekend because we were bored. I'm like, let's just get in the car and go check the mail. And we had went to a Target already, and they didn't have paper towels. So we had done our like the errands for the day, and I'm like, fuck, the one thing we couldn't get was paper towels, but we'll just go back every week and eventually we'll figure it out. As we're driving down Ocean, we look over and someone's got paper towels under their arm. And D's like, I wonder where they got that. I was like, I bet it's the Target on Ocean. And I pulled in and we ran in and there was just rows of them in the middle of the aisles. Oh, wow. And I was like, yo, how many of these can we get? And I just, and the woman and the thing was like, what, as many as you want? And I was like, oh. Sorry for yelling. So we just got two.
We bought it. Awesome.
I love that hilarious. Happened. That must have really happened.
It definitely happened.
I love you, Nick.
I mean, it was in all like good fun. I wasn't like being aggressive or anything, but like D was just laughing her ass off. She's like, how did you divine that person had gone to that Target? I was like, well, I know the Walgreens and the CVS have closed. And the only other place you could possibly get a big roll of paper towels like that has to be a place like a city Target. And the only place that I know of is the city Target. So, but you know, I just
divined. Wait, the Walgreens has it closed? Out. Has it?
I thought the Walgreens still there. It's a big CVS that closed.
Yeah. You scared.
So the Walgreens isn't selling the big pack of paper.
No,
towels.
They don't usually sell the 8-pack. So I was like, this has to be a city Target.
Have you guys started seeing businesses go out of go out of business because of all this?
Oh yeah.
Because there's been a couple places that I like that are gone. Like we talked about the Swamp recently.
Yeah.
But there's another place that I used to go to called Savor. And Noe Valley
in my neighborhood, it's gotten so bad that somebody opened up like one of the legit, it used to be like a running shoe store in the middle of the marina, which is prime real estate for retail. Like it's probably the most expensive place you could run a store, went out of business, and some dude was able to actually negotiate having a pop-up art gallery there. Which I've never seen before in my neighborhood ever. I mean, that's the kind of shit you might see in like the Tenderloin or maybe the Outer Mission. But I like literally walked in today as I was grabbing coffee. I was like, what's going on? And he was like, it was hard to find. But these people eventually said, yeah, we need some money. So I'm here for like 2 weeks. I was like, fuck, it's getting dire. But he was a great artist, actually.
When you went to that Target to get your paper towels, did you look at the Fog Lifter Cafe?
No, is it gone?
Which it's not gone.
No, so there's still people waiting for March for their sandwiches because they're so slow.
I was going to make a Stony Bologna joke.
That's good. This is a place that we frequent for lunch a lot. People that don't freaking know, because why would you? But it is just entirely boarded up, and it is some Walking Dead shit. It's just so like, damn, like even like that place, like what the hell? I don't know if they're going to make it back. You know what else might not make it back? And this one's a pretty big bummer, Kev.
Don't say dinosaurs.
No, dinosaurs seem to be fine.
Ocean
what?
One.
What?
The McDonald's in Daly City. No, not the Ocean One. Not the one near the studio.
Oh, God. I was like, that's a classic.
The Daly City one Kevin... was also remodeling.
Okay, good.
Right, because they shut down the whole first floor, and like, I don't know. I haven't eaten McDonald's in a while, right, Paula? But
yeah, right. Yeah, I believe 100% Paula buys that.
I wish we could see Kevin's shot of Paula just drifting into frame, like as she starts talking about the junk food he's been eating.
No, but the drive thru seems like it's still open.
No, it's not.
As of like a week and a half ago, maybe a week ago, maybe even like 3 days ago.
That's really sad.
Well, the Wendy's in Daly City is still open.
Yeah, it is,
which is good.
Andy, that's what I was about to bring up. That point,
it was frosty. Yep. Tim, damn good.
Tim talks about food that he has been missing. He's been missing Portillo's. I hadn't had Wendy's since before quarantine started, and I've been missing it. And I haven't been willing to take that long trip because, again, it's about a 40-minute round trip because it takes me about 15 to 20 to get there, 15 to 20 to come back.
It's so funny that you don't like driving.
And here's the thing that I worry about. Because I want to enjoy Wendy's here while I'm watching a movie or TV or something like that. Similar to what I do with McDonald's. You know, I'll get McDonald's Uber here about once a week. And I can't have that luxury with Wendy's. Why? Because I have no self-control. And I would just house all that box of nuggets on the way back. Mm. But Nick and I recorded an episode of KFAF on Friday. And we celebrated National Drive-Thru Day. And we drove to just different drive-thrus, and Wendy's was one of them. And it was, my taste buds were so happy to be reunited with the taste of a spicy nugget, a regular nugget. It was blissful. It was blissful.
I'm happy for you,
Kevin. I missed you there, Kev. Wish you were there.
Yep.
Jacob Solo writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, sorry, kind of fun. Okay, guys, here's the real question. Is cereal a soup?
No.
Soup is warm. No. Or it needs.
What about gazpacho then? Is gazpacho
savory? I'll say soup is a savory.
I was gonna say like the fact that it's milk, not cereal, or not water as the base. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's something there, but I feel like clam chowder is probably not water as a base, right? It's got a lot of milk cream. In it. Yeah, cream.
I mean, it's a cream base. Yeah, that's probably clam chowder. You're right, Kevin. It's probably closer to a cereal than your normal broth based soup. But I always just think it's something if you combine milk with sugary thing that becomes a cereal. Although I think most people's definition of cereal probably change. Like American cereal is obviously like Lucky Charms and shit. But when you go to like cereal in like Europe, is a whole different thing. Yeah, it's like oatmeal or like a what's the word they use for it? Like
I kind of feel like, although we all feel like it's not a soup, I feel like we might be wrong on this one. You know?
We might actually.
Let's go to Wikipedia. It's just absolutely not. Cereal is a cereal. It's a different type of thing. Chowder is a subgroup of soup. Cereal is not a subgroup of soup.
Anything. Soup is a primarily liquid food, generally served warm or hot, but maybe cool or cold, that is made by combining ingredients of meat or vegetables with stock or water. Hot soups are additionally characterized and they go on like that, but there's some stuff right there I think to gleam on immediately. Primarily liquid, combining ingredients of meat or vegetables with stock or water. Cereal, meanwhile, a cereal is any grass cultivated for the edible components of its grain, composed of endosperm, germ, and bran. The term may also be let's see more about that.
So cereal is more like the material, right? It's not.
Here's where I'm coming from.
Well, here's breakfast cereal.
Muesli, that's what I'm thinking of. What the hell's a muesli?
Okay, so breakfast cereal is the traditional breakfast made from processed cereal grains. So I was always on cereal, not in the grain. It is traditionally eaten as breakfast, primarily in Western societies. Warm cereals like porridge and grits have the longest history.
Andy,
here's where I'm coming from.
Come on, Andy, what do you got?
I've had it up to here with the Andy won't eat mac and cheese slander, because right now Greg is throwing me on blast, putting me on blast on Twitter. Well,
okay, so real quick for a timeout, for a little footnote here, it's just because you tried to be a big boy during In Review and act like you're not a pickier eater than me.
And then you were astounded when we said you were. And then I put it to a poll, and right now 64% of the audience agrees with me that you're the pickier eater.
This isn't an issue of picky eating. This is an issue of you being okay with raw fish, but not liking cooked fish, and saying that cooked fish is gross and you don't like beans.
Said it's a waste
of meat. Charles Jacobson makes a great point. He doesn't like beans or weird things with textures, yet he loves oysters. There's a lot of like inconsistency here. A lot of inconsistency with your likes and dislikes. I'm putting it on the record right now. Right now, because I'm tired of tweeting at one person and maybe three people only seeing that tweet. And sure, somebody tweeted me something about mac and cheese, and I reply to that guy the same thing, but only three people see that tweet. I'm saying it right here and right now, okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking to the jury, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, okay? I didn't grow up eating mac and cheese, Kraft mac and cheese from the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't grow up eating that. It just wasn't part of my. I had canned food or a freezer food or, again, tortillas were my sort of like sandwich substitute. And because I never ate Kraft mac and cheese, I never went to a restaurant and said, I'll try that mac and cheese, because I never wanted to risk eating something that I wouldn't like. Right. I'm a creature of habit. Everybody knows this about me. If I find one thing I like at a restaurant, I'm sticking with that one thing because I'm scared to take a risk and not like that thing and then waste money on it or whatever. So because I never had Kraft mac and cheese, I never went to, I don't know, Cheddar's restaurant or an Applebee's or a wherever the fuck restaurant and said, you know what, I'll try that mac and cheese, because I'd never had it at home. So that's my reasoning for why I don't really like mac and cheese, because I've never tried it. Will I like it? I don't know. But I don't want to take that risk and in hopes that I'll enjoy it.
Here's the one thing I'll let you know. No matter if it's a company dinner or it's a date with me, wherever we go the rest of our lives, I will order and pay out of my own pocket for a mac and cheese for you to try. I'm talking every restaurant. You can try them
whether
all for
it gets
free.
Eaten or not.
Exactly.
You have Andy, one. Food, I'll put finish it down, what fine. You don't eat.
I was going to say, Kevin, mac and cheese, clean up
for sure.
It.
We'll clean it up.
That's just my reasoning. I wanted to be on the record and for people to understand that reasoning, because I never had it as a kid and it was never a thing that I grew up eating. But I don't want to take that risk and waste my money.
So what's
on
that's what a bad against
reason?
Corn dogs.
That's a bad reason.
Like, why? Why is it a bad reason?
I didn't grow up eating sushi. I didn't grow up eating ramen. I eat those things though. I try those things. A bunch of different.
No, but
I never even heard of the word sushi until I was 32 years old.
But if I look at, but if I go to a restaurant and I see a hamburger. Or I see a steak,
kind of cheese
or I see other things that I would rather eat. I'd rather eat those things.
But like, here's the thing that I question for you, Andy, is that unanimously, like, I've never met someone that didn't like that hated mac and cheese. I'm sure there are plenty of people out
there. I don't know if I
no,
like
no,
it.
That's not the point
but,
he's driving to.
But
please,
the point I'm trying to make is everyone, every time anyone brings up mac and cheese on this podcast, all of us go, oh, fucking mac and cheese would be so good right now. Even me, who I don't even like carbs that much, and I would take down some good mac and cheese right now. So you've never been curious as to whether or not you like mac and cheese when all of your friends everywhere go, dude, it's so fucking good.
Everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go. But I'll tell you what. It's
trying to stuff mac and cheese into your pocket. Like,
I'll tell you what. It's got some properties I'm not a huge fan of. The fact that it,
you like pasta?
So, like, whenever back home, there was this thing that a lot of kids in school would always do. They would get a bag of hot Cheetos and pour a fuckload of nacho cheese in there. To me, it's like, it's too much cheese. I don't want my shit surrounded. Even when I eat nachos, I just like dip in a little bit of a chip in the cheese. I don't like it being slathered in it. But this is all slathered. But this is all slathered.
But
so it's got properties. It's got properties of being all slathered that I'm not a huge fan of. The same with like Alfredo sauce. I don't love Alfredo sauce.
Okay.
I think it's like too much sometimes. I think
if you don't like Alfredo sauce, you might not respond well to mac and cheese, because mac and cheese is cream based and Alfredo sauce, is cream based as well.
It depends the mac and cheese. I don't want you giving them this out. All right. They're very specific mac and cheeses, I think, that would turn them off that way. Also, I always like when we're talking about mac and cheese. Remember the time Cool Greg ordered mac and cheese from Outback Steakhouse?
Twice.
Brought it to him first.
Back to back, Greg. Back
just
to
him.
Back.
Just Cool Greg. There must have been someone in the kitchen that did not like Cool Greg.
It happened.
That was
The fact that it happened twice was like astounding. And the fact that we kept saying, Cougar, you can't accept this. You'd be like, nah, bro, I'm not trying to.
Like the first time it happened, I was like, cool, great. Come on. Like, this is a teachable moment where I'm like, come on, man, we got to be an adult here and send it back. The second time I started to believe that there was a conspiracy against Cool Greg. And I was like, don't send it back. Do not send it back. Let's just stay the course and get through today because I don't want whatever comes next.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I just wanted to say my piece, guys. I just wanted to say my piece.
All right, what I'm do you at got peace now
for jury rest.
Corn dogs? Rest.
Well, he's already tried corn dogs. I got him to try corn dog once. He didn't like
it. So that's it. Okay. You're just done with corn dogs.
Well, yeah, I got him to try. Kevin, I had him try the Beeps mini corn dogs, which in my opinion are the goat of corn dogs.
Oh, dude, I was just about to say.
You guys are getting me all worked up on food right now.
I miss meat, bro.
I'm all worked up. I'm getting all hot on food.
Kevin, please bring back Greg and Kevin Eat a Pizza, where you guys just get online together and eat
a pizza. I have some thoughts about... I have some thoughts on Kevin and Greg eating pizza. Just so you know, and I think it'd be pretty funny.
Beeps curly fries, man. Oh my god,
They were good. The mini corn dogs were great.
Well, I mean, they're still around, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say they've got to be doing all right. There's a takeaway.
Well, they don't have a store. You just go and eat outside anyway. Yeah. So yeah, it's smart. They got ahead of it.
Taking shit about COVID, you know.
That's probably true. By the way, the thing I was
what did you say about pigging shit about COVID?
They've got to be happy as a pig and shit about COVID.
Yeah, because their business hasn't been affected. They wouldn't have been affected because they don't have you don't go inside.
Oh, dine-in. You're right.
Kevin, I was saying, I meant to say muesli is like the, it's like a European sort of like cereal. Like kind of, it's like a breakfast thing that they, it's like cornflakes and stuff together. That's what I meant. Not muslin, which you're right, is what you taste if you have to poop.
Muslin.
Yeah, I said muslin, not muesli. how are we doing on time? Because I have a question for you guys. There's an article I read earlier today that I want to hear how you guys would do it. Yeah. So I was reading this earlier today. This comes from slate.com. It says, help, quarantining with my partner has made me realize he's terrible at his job.
Nice.
So here's how this goes. Is my partner's work habits are atrocious. My partner, we'll call him Bo, has always had trouble keeping a job for more than 8 months, but he always told me it was mostly due to reasons outside of his control, like terrible bosses. I've generally supported him in his employment search for the past few years. I have a pretty high power career myself, but I've always tried to keep that separated and not rub it in when he's had so much trouble finding a good fit. Working from home has starkly illustrated what makes Bo such a bad employee. I feel bad for saying this, but it's hard to watch. Bo has few, if any, organizational systems. He writes down tasks on random slips of paper, which then gets lost. And I frequently hear him having to apologize to folks for forgetting deadlines or deliverables. In meetings, he rambles incessantly, taking forever to get to his point. To his main request. If I was in that meeting with him, I'd just tune it out and avoid future meetings with him. When he's overwhelmed or stressed, he adopts a tone with people and makes them feel bad for asking him to do things that are 100% part of his job. She says, I've coached many entry-level employees over the years, and I know these behaviors are definitely coachable. It's not an indelible part of his personality, though I obviously wouldn't coach him myself. I'm thinking of recommending that he coach. Like, how would you guys, that's the end of it. How would you guys deal with this if you suddenly realized that someone in your household was just like terrible at their job? What do you do? Tim says nothing. Just a solid.
I mean, I don't know. Working from home undeniably has, I mean, it didn't teach me anything. I already knew this, but like it is for a fact shown me that seeing Gia do her job day to day, the amount of phone calls she does, the amount of action items that are then done because of those phone calls, the results that come of all that, and that just being a continuous cycle proves to me that our jobs, we do work. We do not do real work. We do a lot of things, but none of the, like, it is just like, it is on such a different level where I'm just like, it's embarrassing. I honestly feel kind of embarrassed about it all, where it's just like, holy shit, people have real jobs that they have to do. And again, not trying to discredit any of us, not trying to discredit anything that we do and how hard that we work and how tiring it can be. There's all this other stuff, but I will say it's a fucking joke.
Compared to like Gia working at a real corporation startup that's like trying to like make revenue, I'm sure it absolutely is.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of shit about how much sleep I do during the day. You know?
Interesting.
Well, it's just...
How much sleep do you do during the day, Kevin?
Well, I mean, when we're not recording, what am I doing? Just waiting for Paula to be done. So I'm trying to watch stuff for screencast, but a lot of times I just pass out on the couch because I'm so tired.
That's the kind of business we run here,
man.
In front of your bosses, just like I
want to do that so much, but like And I know I'm not the best at getting back to a lot of y'all because I don't have notifications on for Slack, because sometimes there are 15-minute conversations about God knows what in Slack that I just don't want the constant beeping for or whatever. But every time I think about doing it, I get so paranoid that there's a graphic that needs to be made immediately. That like that we need a layout for this and that right the hell now.
To, it's
like,
to be fair, that has happened where it's like, oh my God, there's a layout. Where's Andy? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But like that's normal life, you know?
That's why I'm scared to do it. Yeah.
You can mute channels in Slack though. Like we can, you could just mute everything but Andy, I mean, DMs and things for Andy or whatever.
And every once in a while, you guys start going back and forth in a joke on Slack and like general or random.
And it's like, I'm
trying to
right
watch
now?
This movie on my iPad and I keep getting these damn notifications.
Me and Joey are trying to bring lights into your life. You
and
know,
just
to
be
Nick
clear, this is always
guys.
Like 6 or 8 o'clock.
This is what it must have been like for Laurel and Hardy when they use their company Slack. You know what I mean? They're out here giving out zingers and nobody cares. Nobody it's fucking embarrassing when you hear it. You know? But that's why, Andy, see, I know better. If I need to talk to you, what do? I just show up in your Twitch chat. I resubscribe and I ask you the question of my subscription. Like I did Friday when I hit you up at like 10:30 and I was like, hey, Andy, love you and miss you. Also, did you make the XCast thumb? And you're like, all right. Oh, Greg, resubscribe. Ah, fuck, Greg. No, I didn't. Hold on one second. You're like, hold on, Chad. I got to make a thumbnail. You're like, yeah, sorry. Barrett told me when I got home and I forgot, but it was good.
Yeah, we had finished doing the drive-thru episode of KFAF that will go live tomorrow. Please watch it, everybody. It takes a lot of time to edit these between me and Nick. But we had gotten home from that doing that episode, and I was like, all right, time to stream. Like, I'm energized. I have food in my belly. And Barrett asked me for the X-Cast. And I was like, oh, I'll definitely get to it. And I just totally slipped my mind. And so during the stream, I just showed Chad, here's how I make a thumbnail. Spoilers, guys. You're going to figure out how it works right here.
Well, that's good. Turn the content into content. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think such a big part of that and any critiques we have of each other, I mean, outside of like really bad stuff, but stuff like that, like it's fucking a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like it's okay not to be okay and to have like everything's fucking weird. And I forget the shit moving from one desk or one seat to the other or whatever when I'm working here on this one or sitting over there typing an email and shit like that. Like we still need to get the jobs done, but I think there's a like Kevin taking a nap, I get, especially when we're like, Kevin, wake up at 6:30, 45 or whatever to make this stupid Nintendo Direct happen and then work the rest of the thing and yada yada yada.
I think especially COVID. Because this whole the last month, the summer of games, this whole mess has been so sporadic and so there have been so many events that just randomly happen, and I'm getting a call. Tim, when I called you back that one time, I was taking a nap like at 5:30 because I just like I fell asleep in bed, and I woke up to a call from Tim. I called him back and he was like, hey, tomorrow Nintendo's doing a thing. Do you want to be a part of it? Also, we need an overlays or whatever. And I was like, fuck, man, I just want summer games to be over because like there hasn't been that many cool things happening. It's just like random small games that get announced. Like, so, I want cooler shit.
It's so unnecessarily spread out. And it's just like I'll like open Twitter and like someone earlier this week was like, are you guys doing this event on Tuesday at 6 o'clock? And it's like, God, I hope not. Yeah. Well, because just the thing about like the Nintendo one, it didn't go up on YouTube. So we all woke up at like 6:30 in the morning to watch this 8-minute video and be like, all right, great. I guess this was fun way to spend, you know, because it's not just 8 minutes. It's all the prep time and the post time. And it's just one of those things. It's like, all right, thanks for spreading this, what used to be a week long event into now 3-4 months. Come on, man. Wrap it up. We get it. There's new games coming out, I guess.
Nick, there was a part in the last Nintendo thing where the Blessing sort of predicted that a new game would be announced, and it did get announced, and Blessing was reacting to it, and I was like, man, if Blessing reacts a little too much, I'm gonna have to make a thumbnail for this. And luckily by the end we're like, nah, we don't put this up. I was like, fuck yes. I'll go back to bed.
Funny. That's crazy.
That's how we're all surviving, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Kind of Funny podcast. I remember each and every week, usually four best friends gather around this table. I switched desks, and now I'm not allowed to hit this desk because it resonates throughout the entire house, apparently, I was told, because I was pounding on it
during
review.
It's just
I got the dog asleep on me.
It's two hits.
Wait, is there a dude hurting
there?
I want to be, you know, I'm not like you, all right? I want to be respectful. I don't want people with their brooms banging on the roof or the fucking...
Speaking of which,
last savor night, the post show. Savor the... We still have to do a post show and a gold topic. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, you can be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Give us your questions, your comments, your concerns. Get the show ad-free. Get it with the post show we're about to do. Watch it live, just like Demetrius Newell is, Mike L is, and Tyler Wallace is. If you have no bucks tossed away, no big deal. You can get the show each and every week, youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. We got a post show to do. But until next time, no, it's been our pleasure to serve you.